of Jewish Women Oral History 2, Marjorie Silverman and Bessie Hyman are interviewing Dr. Harvey Tharp again on January 3rd, 1978 at his home on Aylesboro Avenue. Dr. Tharp, we would like to know a little more about your career as an ophthalmologist and some of the honors that you have received.
Well, I started in practice in 1943, and I retired from active practice in 1976. I was, let me tell you a little bit about some of my education that led to the honors. I made it an early practice to learn the new things that came along in ophthalmology that were significant, and also to get a broad education in ophthalmology. As a result of that, in 1921, Professor Arnold Knapp, who had brought over a new instrument from Germany known as the slit lamp microscope, and was unable to have it set up in this country, I was working in his hospital at part of Columbia University, and he knew that, had learned that I had studied engineering and that I was able to read German. So, having brought that over from the Heidelberg Congress, he asked me to set up the instrument. As a result of that, I was allowed to use it.
What did the instrument do?
The instrument permitted to get a microscopic examination of the eye, of the living eye, and in a manner similar to what one does in the pathological laboratory. And that was either of the healthy eye or the diseased eye. And this biomicroscopy has been extended over the years, and I was very active in the teaching of it. I learned a great deal about the biomicroscopy from one of the pioneers. His name was Professor Leonhard, L-E-O-N-H-A-R-D, Kepe, capital K-O-E-P-P-E. He visited Pittsburgh and gave a course here and stayed at my parents' home for about 6 weeks during my early years in practice. And I perfected my German, but I learned biomicroscopy from him, and he induced me, after I had studied with him, to also teach biomicroscopy to the American ophthalmologists. As a result of that, I was asked in 1926 to give an extensive lecture to the Pennsylvania Ophthalmological Group section of the Pennsylvania Ophthalmological Pennsylvania Medical Society.
Is that how you taught it? Was through these lectures to graduate doctors?
That's right. This was given to the ophthalmologists of the state of Pennsylvania and the tri-state area. The annual meeting was held that year in Pittsburgh. The year was 1926. My lecture was rather lengthy. It was over an hour. And when I was finished, Professor Professor George DeSchweidnitz, who was at that time the Dean of American Ophthalmology and the President of the American Medical Association, asked to discuss the paper. And he was very complimentary in his discussion, and that brought my name forward to the ophthalmologic profession. The following year, I was asked to write a monograph on slit lamp biomicroscopy for the international clinics in Alphamont. This monograph for them. The monograph was entitled Biomicroscopy, a Clinical Aid to Diagnosis of Ocular Disease. In 1928, I was appointed chief of the Department of Ophthalmology of the then new Montefiore Hospital. That was when it, a year before it opened on Fifth Avenue. Its new building on Fifth Avenue. I then started to build the Department of Ophthalmology, and in 4 years I felt that I had brought the department to a status where we could give postgraduate courses. And then I took up Professor Kepi's advice to teach biomicroscopy. We taught it every Thursday afternoon for about 10 weeks from 1932 through 1939, and the doctors from the tri-state area came to attend that course. Some of them had been to foreign clinics and so forth, and they felt that they got a great deal out of the course in Pittsburgh. That brought my name to the attention of the of various ophthalmological societies in the country, because the students, the graduate ophthalmologists who were practicing ophthalmologists, called my attention to the various societies. One of the early places that I was invited to lecture was in 1935 at the Cleveland Clinic and the Cleveland Ophthalmological Group. Soon afterwards, I was invited to give lectures at Ohio State School of Medicine in the Department of Ophthalmology. I was thereafter invited to Cincinnati on a number of occasions to lecture to the University of Cincinnati group and the Cincinnati Ophthalmological Society. I was made an honorary member of that society, and I was then invited to other cities in Ohio, Toledo and so forth. I was subsequently invited to lecture in New York City, and I was became a member of the New York Clinical Society for Ophthalmology, to which I was elected as president in 1957 or 8. I was a fellow of the New York Academy of Medicine, which was an unusual thing for an out-of-state man. I became a member of the American Academy of Ophthalmology in 1931, and I was certified by the American Board of Ophthalmology in 1926, 5 years before that. In 1937, the American Academy of Ophthalmology asked me to become an instructor in slit lamp biomicroscopy. I joined a group that was already organized, a group of teachers, and in about 2 years, I became the senior instructor of that group, and continued to teach until the present day. I'm still on the faculty of the American Academy of Ophthalmology, and I give annual courses at the American Academy meetings.
Where are the meetings held?
The meetings that were originally held for the first 20 years or more in Chicago, and then they were held in various other cities, Dallas and Las Vegas, where they have large convention centers. We outgrew Chicago, and that was the reason we moved from Chicago. I was elected to the Honor Society of the American Academy of Ophthalmology in 1951, and this is one of the honor keys.
Did you invent any instruments?
Yes, I'll tell you what. Want to finish the honors?
Yes, certainly, I sure do.
Yeah. All right. I was elected as an honorary member of a number of societies in the United States where I lectured, the West Virginia Ophthalmological Society, the Virginia Ophthalmological Society, I was president of the New York, I told you, New York Clinical Society for Ophthalmology. As an honor member of the Chicago Ophthalmological Society, the Texas Ophthalmological Society, the Colorado Ophthalmological Society, the Research Study Club of the California, of Los Angeles, California, and several other ophthalmological societies whose name I don't recall just at present. But I lectured at most of the states east of the Mississippi and quite a few west of the Mississippi. I gave a number of honor lectures. At the Texas Ophthalmological Society, a very prestigious honor lecture at the Wills Eye Hospital in Philadelphia. I was the first non-academic lecturer that gave the Bedell Lecture, the famous Bedell Lecture, the annual lecture at the Wills Eye Hospital. And I gave the Gore, Everett Gore Lecture at the Houston Ophthalmological Society. In the course of time throughout the world, I lectured at well over 60 universities and medical schools, and gave hundreds of lectures throughout the world. I'm also an honorary member of the Hong Kong Ophthalmological Society. And in 1955, I was the guest of the All India Congress of Ophthalmology and the All India Ophthalmological Society. And I was the first non-Indian to be elected as the first foreigner to be elected as an honorary member of that society. I was also an honorary member of the Hadassah Ophthalmological Society, or the Israel Ophthalmological Society, where I lectured in 55. I lectured in most of the capitals of Europe and some of the other large cities. I lectured in the three universities in Switzerland, Geneva, Bern, and Zurich, in Germany, and Bonn, and in Munich, in England, in London, and in Scotland, in Edinburgh, in Holland and Amsterdam, and the Utrecht in France, in Paris, and in Lyon, in Italy, in Parma, and in Rome, in Spain, in Valencia, and in and Barcelona, where I was made an honorary member of the prestigious Barracaire Clinic. I lectured in Western Hemisphere, from Canada, from many of the states of the U.S. to Mexico. I was made a corresponding member of the Mexican Ophthalmological Society, made an honorary member of the Rio de Janeiro Ophthalmological Society, of the Ophthalmological Society of São Paulo, of the Ophthalmological Society of Lima, Peru.
How did you happen to get started with the lectures in the foreign countries?
Because of my lectures in the United States, I was invited to lecture in various foreign countries. I lectured in the United States, besides at the various local and regional societies. I gave 40 years of lectures at the American Academy. I taught in Colby College and in Portland, Maine for 20 years. Went up every summer for a week, where I taught first men who came out of the Army in 1945, 46, 45, and then subsequently, the doctors, as they finished their postgraduate training, would come up there to get intensive instruction. It was a 3-month course, for which I headed up the faculty in biomicroscopy for 1 week.
What other subjects did you lecture on?
I pioneered the use of telescopic spectacles for weak-sighted people, the use of contact lenses in 1930, and 1934, I gave an intensive course on cataract surgery in 1935, in Pittsburgh. Which was attended by a small group at their request. It grew out of the fact that one man wanted me to give him a course, but I felt that I didn't want to devote my time to just one person, wanted several people. So this man grew up a group.
Were contact lenses your idea?
No. Contact lenses were devised before I was born, but they became into use in about 1929-1930. At that time, the Zeiss people from Jena, Germany, perfected a ground and polished contact lens. And fortunately, I knew them, and they provided me with the test lenses. And the original test lens set was 4. The different lenses. They were ground and polished ones. The original contact lenses were devised about 1870 to 71, were blown contact lenses, and they were not used. They were made by a firm by the name of Mueller. The actual suggestion for contact lenses came in the early part of the 19th century, but it's not consummated. The next subject that I pioneered was retinal detachment surgery. I was Professor Gonan of Lausanne, Switzerland, L-A-U-S-A-N-E. Switzerland had discovered that a tear in the retina was responsible for most of the detachments of the retina. And he gave that lecture in 1929 at the International Congress, and I took up the work at the urging of my Professor Knapp and Professor Schoenberg of New York in 1930, and I did three operations, and they seemed to work very well. Pretty soon, a professor in Vienna improved the operation within the next 2 years, and I took up his method. His name was Safar, Carl Safar, S-A-F-A-R, and that consisted in the use of a high-frequency current on the surface of the eyeball to sear the eyeball and drain off the fluid under the retina, and so that it would seal the tear of the retina. We didn't have a proper machine for that work, and so with the aid of a radio engineer, mechanic, we built a apparatus, and an electronic apparatus, and which I used for a good many years until they began to be manufactured in this country.
Did you invent any other machines besides that?
Yes, and shortly after that, I had a patient who had a left shot in the eye, and I didn't know how to remove it, and I felt that a new instrument had to be made, and so I devised a special forceps for grasping the lens shot, and I devised them by using a direct cystoscope. I modified it and built an ophthalmic endoscope, which we put in through a small hole in the eye, and with which we were able to get out copper and other non-magnetic substances. In my early career, working with Dr. Weil, I got an enormous experience in taking steel out of the eye with a magnet. So I soon developed a large practice and following among the doctors in consultation cases of steel in the eye, and I began to write articles on that. So those were some of the courses that I gave in lectures, where I'm removing of steel and copper from the eye.
Is there any other instruments that you invented?
Then I invented a great many surgical instruments for the use in operations, in cataract operations, in glaucoma operations, in plastic operations of the eye, in retinal detachment surgery, and these were manufactured and sold. And in fact, at one of the universities that I lectured at the University of Indiana Medical the Eye Department, they took me to their stock room where they kept instruments. And here they had a dozen of a particular instrument that I had invented, a special type of forceps. They kept a stock of them, which the various eye doctors on that faculty used. I then was asked by the Bosch and Blom people in 1929 to become their consultant on the slit lamp microscope. which they had made and built. I revised the instrument, and they sold a good many of them throughout the country. In 1949, he approached me again for a special model of an instrument. I devised a new instrument, which was on a different principle than the other slit lamp microscopes in some regard. And they brought that out in 1955, and it was called the Thorpe slit lamp microscope, in which they sold many thousands throughout the world. They probably sold well over $20 million worth of those instruments. I never accepted a bonus or a percentage for that device. In 1950, I devised a four-mirror gonioscope. Professor Kepe had devised a hemispherical gonioscope, but that could not be used with a slit lamp microscope. So a Professor Goldman of Bern, Switzerland, had in 1937 devised a single mirror gonioscope, and that was a little tedious to use. It was an excellent instrument and improved, made it possible to use the gonioscope for the diagnosis of glaucoma with the aid of the slit lamp microscope.